Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Right now, we'll talk to Phil Barber on Twitter at @skinny_post, sports writer for the Press Democrat. The Niners, I think, did the best job of anybody out of any NFL teams on week one. But let's talk to Phil about that. Phil, how are you?
I'm having a good evening. How are you guys?
I'm fantastic. Were the Niners the biggest winner on day one? Because it sure seemed like it. Everybody was using the word fleeced of what they did to the Bears, moving up from 3-2. How great did the Niners do and first-time GM John Lynch in year one as a GM?
Well, I was going to say John Lynch was definitely rookie of the year for day one of the draft, if not the MVP, and he might have been that. I mean, we all try to pretend that we know how good the players are that they draft, and we really don't. We need to wait and take some time to see how someone like Solomon Thomas will turn out. But when you trade one spot down and get the value that they got, you know, a third and a fourth and a third next year, I mean, that's and then still get the guy that you were almost certainly going to take with the number two. That's just a huge win any way you slice it. And then, you know, say what you will about Reuben Foster. There are some red flags about him, but I think most people expected him to go higher than he did. And so for the 49ers to wind up with him as well, they had to be just grinning ear to ear when that thing was over yesterday.
How did that go down exactly? Was it that John Lynch said to other teams that he had offers for that pick at number two, and that's why Trubisky might have gone there? I mean, how exactly were they able to get that much out of the Bears?
That it's exactly what you said. John Lynch let it be known to the Bears that they were getting offers for that pick. Now, were they? I don't know. Probably. Were they getting viable offers? Who knows? Maybe they were, or maybe John Lynch just let the Bears GM, Pace, believe that. We might never know the answer to that one, but they planted enough seed of doubt in the minds of the Bears that they got nervous, you know, and clearly felt that they had to give a bunch of stuff away to move up that one slot.
Zachariah here at 95.7 The Game. Phil Barber, good enough to join me, sports writer for the Press Democrat, 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, PenskeAutoSales.com, text line 95795, on Twitter at Zach Sports, ZAK Sports. What did you make of Reuben Foster, who seemed like, I mean, look, I have been saying for years here on air that I am not pro-marijuana, but I am certainly not anti-marijuana. Mm-hmm. And my father, who was a hippie, he smoked weed, and it didn't affect him physically. And he had a diluted sample, which is not even an actual admit to guilt on smoking weed. So him falling down there, the linebacker out of Alabama, how good of a pick was that for the Niners? Or do you question all the things that surround him, whether it's the do you know who I am for the hospital visit and the diluted sample?
You know what? I don't put a lot of stock in those. And I think we're getting to the point, and I'm happy to see it, where we're not knocking athletes down nearly as far for marijuana test, and as you said, this was not a positive test. This was a diluted sample. It calls it into question. But even if it were, I think we're past the days where every NFL team is going to see that and go, oh man, you know, we can't draft this guy. He's smoked weed in his life. I think we're finally getting to the point where we can admit that, oh yes, we all know people who smoke weed. A lot of people did it when they were the age that some of these young athletes are. And I think that it's not the big deal that it used to be. Now I will say, Reuben Foster's shoulder injuries are more of a concern to me. I think that's real. He's had kind of a history of stingers, in his shoulder. and you know, he says he's fine. He says it's a thing of the past. That's something that you do need to keep your eye on. And I, to me, that's a bigger deal than any of the things that went on at the combine. I mean, even, you know, the shouting match you got into and being sent home, it seemed like he did kind of a stupid thing and lost his temper. But everything I hear about the guy does not point to him being a character issue. And in fact, kind of the opposite. It points to him being someone who really loves the game and seems to be a very valued teammate. And, you know, he was probably the best defensive player on the best defense in college football. And I think John Lynch even said that they were trying to get him before they got him. We're at 31, I think, is where they finally wound up with him. And John Lynch said he was working the phones before that, trying to move up to get him.
Garyon Conley at number 24, obviously assuming, and I can't imagine, based on what the Raiders have done in their past with researching people and making sure that things are not wrong when they appear to hopefully be right when you select him there. What did you think about that pick? Do you think it would have went a lot earlier without the rape allegations? And how confident are you that the Raiders are sure that he's not going to have those moving forward?
I do think he would have gone higher if that whole story wasn't hovering over him. And I'll say this. I mean, I don't know. And it's not like, you know, if you're judging a player's talent, you put the film on, and maybe you and I don't completely agree on him, but we could come to some compromise. Well, okay, I like this that he does, you know, but maybe he's a little slow in the open field or something. But when it comes to a sexual assault allegation, it's kind of all or nothing. You know, chances are he did something terrible, or he didn't do anything bad at all. There's not a lot of gray area, and we don't know right now. We really don't. And a lot of people, you know, on both sides of that.
But let me ask you this, Phil, and yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's okay.
Don't you think that it would have to be that he didn't do anything wrong for the Raiders to take him there?
I would like to think that. And I agree with you that everything that Reggie McKenzie has done, every move he's made since he's gotten there, leads me to think that they're going to err on the side of caution there.
But they have
and I
to,
like,
Phil. They have to, right?
They don't have to. I mean, you would think every NFL team, you would think every sports
he'll get
team would
killed.
Have to, but they don't.
He will. But hang on, Phil. He will get destroyed if he did something there. He will. He had to known that there's no chance that he did anything.
But every year we see guys go who have done things and who have clouds hovering over them that wind up being
whom?
Legitimate.
Whom,
and
Phil? Whom?
Well, Joe Mixon.
Well, I mean, yeah.
You can interpret that different ways. Or let me say this. You can't interpret what he did in different ways. You could give him more latitude in being able to turn his life around, and you could say he's a young man and give him another chance. But some people wouldn't. Some people would say what he did was inexcusable. All I'm saying is for every player out there who's done something wrong, there's a level of talent that if that guy can reach that level, there's going to be a team that takes him. And I don't think the Raiders are that team, which makes me really have confidence in Reggie McKenzie that this guy is okay and didn't do anything. But I can't say that I'm sure of that. I really can't, because we don't know all the facts.
All right, let's move on. I could talk to you for an hour, but let's move on to the Warriors. And essentially what you're looking at is what? You have Utah and the Clippers playing right now. The Clippers are up 63-59 with 5:11 to go in the third quarter. It doesn't matter, right? I mean, the Warriors are beating whomever they play. They are going to beat the Spurs or whomever they play outside of that. And it's going to come down to the Cavs and whether or not LeBron James is going to be basketball Jesus again, right?
You know, I wish I could disagree with you on that. And I wish I could kind of like build these playoffs up and try to add a little intrigue and excitement to it.
There's nothing.
Before they even played a game against Portland, before they had played a game in these playoffs.
Before they played a game this season, Phil. When they signed Kevin Durant, nobody cared about anything.
I'm not quite with you on that.
Okay.
I'm not quite with you on that because they did have to prove that they could mesh these interesting and fabulous talents.
You don't even believe that, Phil. I love you. You don't believe that.
Okay, but listen. Okay, here's the flip side. Okay, that one, maybe I'm trying to convince myself a little. Here's the flip side, though. As good as the Warriors were going to be, it was possible to me that another team, probably Cleveland, could also emerge as a juggernaut, like just as good as they were last
year. Their defense is so bad. Their defense is so bad,
but
Phil.
It took me a while to learn that. Like, I'm saying, at the beginning of the season, I didn't know that. But now going into the playoffs, as we went into the playoffs, you just surveyed the landscape.
Yeah.
And who's the team that's going to really challenge the Warriors? It's hard to imagine. That's like the most logical would be San Antonio, because they're San Antonio and because it's Popovich. And because, you know, they have played the Warriors.
It's only basketball Jesus LeBron James. That's it, Phil. That's it.
But they don't look like the team right now.
No, they have horrible defense.
They do.
The Warriors are going to crip walk to a title. Phil Barber, I love you dearly. Sports writer for the Press Democrat on Twitter. Best handle ever, by the way. I need a handle like this. @skinny_post. Thank you, Phil, for your time. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Right on. Talk to you later.
There you go. Phil Barber.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.